to Tiltcast, episode 328, Thunder Thighs!
Oh, God.
And this week, guys, we talk pit people. They are billions. Elite Dangerous. And Rusty's Tetris addiction. Stay tuned.
Still addicted.
Hot dog arrows.
Through the taint!
Through the taint! Oh my Ouch. God, the pre-show fucking conversations, man. Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, and we're back.
Yeah.
We're back.
What's today's date? What's the time, Jason?
The 16th.
Fuck, I don't have my computer.
The 16th, and it's like fucking like midnight o'clock-ish.
It's 8:46.
Okay.
8:46, 16th of March. March, year of hour late.
Year of our Lord 2018.
We're back. We're the Tiltcast. We're back. We're ready to go.
I
think we've said we're back several times.
I think we're back.
How many more times can he say it?
We're back.
That was a really bad.
Yeah.
And isn't that a cartoon like back in the day about dinosaurs that like became like sentient?
We're back.
Yeah. The dinosaur story.
So,
I remember things!
I've played that for the kids.
You have?
I forgot how dark the ending was.
It was pretty dark. I'm like, oh shit. Wait, whoa.
Is this like in the days of Land of the Lost, when dinosaur shows were big? And then what was that other show that was like a dinosaur family and it had Baby the Dinosaur, the guy in the little egg?
The Dinosaurs?
It was called the Dinosaurs. It was a sitcom.
Not the Baba.
And it was Earl and family.
Nobody fucking remembers that.
I remember that.
I know, but I think, you know, it's funny. You work with a lot of people of varying ages, right? And, like, you make references to stuff. I was making references to the Deftones, and somebody said, my dad listens to them. I was like, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you.
I'm old.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I was actually thinking today, I was like, I'm going to go through and change a bunch of stuff on. So what happens, I get lazy with my music, and I have some CDs in my car.
CDs?
I still have some CDs.
You still have CDs?
Well,
oh, God.
And I have music on my phone, right? So, like, I'll download stuff from my computer back to my phone, so I have something to listen to on the way to work.
He picks out the turntable from his backpack, slams it down onto the table here.
I have a turntable in the attic.
In the attic, it doesn't need to be in the attic. You need to put it on the table.
At some point,
I'm
turning this into
location.
A man cave, and it'll be in here.
Of course.
I don't know how I'm going to cram all that shit, but this wall is turning into a wall of sound, and this may get even more soundproof because reasons.
Reasons, because the only sound that's going to exit this particular space is thump, thump, thump.
Well, that's not. I'm not really a. You know. Even thinking about that, like, we routinely hit nostalgia here because I always realize how old we're getting.
Jesus.
I was talking to another guy from one of my older classes, like, because he's talking about getting a new stereo. I was like, he was showing me the stereo he's getting, and it was like an Alpine, and it was like $70. It's like, when did Alpines become so cheap? And he's like, nobody buys car stereos anymore. He's like, everybody just plays it through the factory. And I was like, what? He's like, everybody listens to something so much different right now that.
Right.
Like, people don't want to rep what they have anymore. And, like, you know, he's an old schooler, and, like, he was telling me, he's like, yeah, back in the day, he's in high school, I listened to Bone Thugs and Harmony, right? And I had, like...
Bone Thugs.
Right? He's like, I had 416s in my car, and he's like, my wife nowadays just doesn't want to hear it that loud anymore. And he's like, and then I feel bad when I crank it up. He's like, the high schoolers look at me weird, and I'm just like, well, this is how it was when I was a year. He's
right.
like, I am more badass than you are.
Right. there's these fucking, like, add-on fucking, like, sound cannons that you can get.
I remember the sound cannons.
Yeah, right. So, and my brothers were in a truck. That's pretty much what you can put in there. And that's going to be enough for the fucking cab of a truck.
Remember they had for trucks, they had these really flat cabinets for speakers, for subs. Mm-hmm. You'd stick them, they'd sit at kind of an angle so they'd partially go into the seat and partially go up the back of the seat, right?
Right.
And you could fit about a 10 in like an S10 pickup.
Right.
So you'd put like two of those, one behind each of the seats, and then hope that was enough. But in a little bitty cab,
that's enough.
It was fucking deafening.
Yes, that's enough. You don't need any more than that. So we ended up putting some fucking cannons in, you know, or a cannon in between the fucking seats of this truck, and, you know, wired it up, and then he fucking turned it to stupid and fucking, like, almost blew the fucking windows out of the damn truck. It was crazy. But the stuff that he was listening to made me, like AC/DC and fucking, like, you know, Ozzy and fucking, like, some of the, what I would consider classic rock. Now it's on the fucking Oldies channel. Jesus Christ, I'm fucking, like, bald.
Well, I mean, I hear Soundgarden routinely on our classic channel all the time.
Yeah.
They don't have Oldies anymore. No. It's just classic rock.
Soundgarden. Along with Black Sabbath and Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah. And it'll rotate, right? Like, you'll hear, yeah. Like, the Beatles aren't even on the classic rock station. No. They're too old.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they get as new.
Even most of Stone's catalog is too old.
I know. They'll get into, like, newer Pink Floyd. And I say newer, like, 90s Pink Floyd.
Right. What?
Yeah.
But you gotta realize the 90s were fucking ages ago. 1990 was 28 years ago.
But that's still, like, yesterday. That's like yesterday.
There's a pair of JNCOs that I found that are sitting in that closet behind you at some...
I still, at one point, had my grunge outfit.
Yeah, I haven't found a flannel in a long time, but I had some flannels.
All you need to do to find flannel is to go up north. They still live the grunge up there.
Right. I have no choice.
Yeah, but they do that by necessity, not by choice.
Well,
I was tossing out some more shit in my house. Like, I'm kind of a pack rat, and sometimes I hold on to stuff I don't need to, right?
Right.
Like, I threw away a wallet chain the other day, and I was like, why the fuck do I still have a wallet chain?
A wallet chain, like
half, I still had the leather clasp.
Fucking thigh fucking shit, wallet chain.
You were still wearing a wallet chain up until a couple years ago.
No, it was a lot longer than that. It was when I first started where I'm working right now, and then I grew up a little bit.
Now you just have your keys and a fucking lanyard hanging out your goddamn pocket.
Well, the lanyard's a memento, and it also helps me find the fucking keys.
Make the keys bigger so that they don't fight. That's another sign you're getting fucking old, man.
Well, I mean, if you got a big ass rope attached to it, it's hard to lose, right?
That, and you can use it as a weapon. Whoa, whoa, whack!
Yeah, it's about bullwhip density.
Yeah,
no, it's denser than that.
You could just use the fucking like rope as a as something to grab onto, and use the keys as like a fucking like modern fucking Morningstar, a flail.
I mean, the thought has crossed my mind if I got into a fight to just pull the keys out and just start hitting somebody. I mean, why not, right?
Why not?
I mean, I'm not going to kill somebody, but it's going to hurt like a bitch.
No, it would hurt like a bitch. Those things are like, you wouldn't think keys are fucking, like, sharp, but you whip them around on a fucking, like, 2-foot, piece of rope, they're going to do some damage. And
my old boss made these bungee cords to put our lanyards on, and most of us put our keys on them. So that's what that is. It's an old bungee cord. He used to do when he was hunting. He would go through and, like, do these things. He made a whole bunch for the immediate direct reports he had. So I kept it, right? It's useful, cool memento that I have. So, but it, yeah, it's really fucking thick. Like, it's knotted, braided, thick. Like, it would take a lot to chop that thing in half. But
perfect.
It would work great for a little Morningstar if I had to.
Yes, perfect.
Now, what's even better is when you're making those, you find yourself a good half-inch ball bearing and wrap that paracord around it.
Why?
It's already pretty hard, dude.
Yeah. You wouldn't need anything more than that.
When we hit break, if you want me to, I'll smack you in the arm with just the rope part. You tell me... if it needs a ball bearing. I bet you tell me no.
You want to put that you want to put tell your you keys that I, in your pocket, not have your fucking jeans fall off of you when you fucking put the keys in your pocket.
I will say they will bruise an ass.
Bruise an ass. That is
bruise it.
That is now a benchmark. Will this hurt? It will. It's gonna sting. It might leave a mark. It'll bruise an ass. It'll knock your ass out.
Somebody doesn't hear this, but a long time ago, a certain somebody asked me to hit them in the ass with it. I was like, "It's gonna hurt." She thought it would be kinky, and then she regretted it.
What? Oh shit!
I was like, "That hurt like a bitch." I was like, "I told you,
it'll bruise an ass."
Speaking of bruised ass,
what?
How do you segue into that?
Wow.
I've been binging the new season of Jessica Jones.
Bruised ass. She didn't bruise her ass.
She got the shit beat out of her a couple times.
Yeah,
she did.
And she beat the shit out of some other folks in that.
I watched
Jessica Jones. Really ain't that bad, is it?
No, I watched. I think Jessica it's probably Jones.
The third best one out of the whole thing. Daredevil's really the best in my opinion, and I like. I almost called it Predator. Punisher. And then probably Jessica Jones. That's the order. And then it goes Luke Cage after that for me.
See, and then fucking Iron Fist way at the bottom.
Yeah, Iron Fist is kind of okay. I felt like he should have been a lot more badass than he was.
Yeah, he really didn't turn out that great.
And I don't know if that's an issue with Finn Jones or if that was a writer.
You see, I am actually kind of... I kind of dig Jessica Jones more than I dig the Punisher, but only because the Punisher is just basically like, you know, you're signing up for 1 hour of gratuitous violence.
I don't know. I was a little bit let down by some of the violence in Punisher.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't feel like it happened enough.
Well,
there is a five-episode lull in the middle, and you're like, okay, world building, world building, world building, world building. Give me a little payoff in every episode.
Which is why I like Jessica Jones a little bit better.
There's a payoff almost every episode.
Well, because Jessica's kind of like that, she does have that, like, I don't want to be a hero, I'm just fucking strong, please leave me the fuck alone, I want to do my job.
Yeah.
You know, kind of... You know, that's the kind of way she goes about things, and she just gets... every time she ends up having to use her super strength to do something, she has she rolls her fucking eyes. She's
so fucking annoyed by it.
She's like, alright, fine, fuck it. Pick up the fucking refrigerator, move it 3 fucking feet. Get the fuck out of my way, you know? You know, so there was... That I watched that I said I was gonna sit down, I was gonna watch one fucking episode, watch the entire fucking
it's pretty season good.
In one fucking sitting. Because
I watch superhero anything honestly for fantastical fights,
right?
And some of the story building, and now they're better at telling stories with it. You know, it's a lot better, but it has a good mix between both, right? The story's interesting and the fighting's interesting, and it keeps going back and forth, and it's fun.
Yep.
And Daredevil's kind of the same way. Like, Daredevil's got a good mix of both. And Daredevil, I still haven't seen it in any season of any Marvel anything. There's that one scene where it's he's in an office building, and it's like an 8-minute fight take, and he just progressively gets more and more tired through the whole thing.
Right.
Which I thought was, like, literally one of the best fight scenes I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Well, yeah, because that had to be one of the most realistic...
Like he gets
fight scenes I've ever seen in a show.
Like he's getting some of the shit beat out of him, but he's somehow still surviving. And I thought that sold it so much more than anything else I'd seen.
Was that the one tank hallway fight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember how long it is, but it feels like it's like 8 or 10 minutes, and it's probably like 5. But that is a long fight. Like being from somebody who used to kickbox regularly, like matches are just a few minutes,
right?
And you get really fucking wore out at the end. And he has realistically wore the fuck out by the end of that. Like, there's a lot of aerobics that go into being a kickboxer, because you have to get that heart rate going.
Yep.
And right now, I think if I got in a real fight, I would be wore out in about 2 minutes. And that's about all that happened. I'd be like, well, fuck.
Well, okay.
I hope I hit as, like, I better hit as hard as I fucking can at the beginning of this and end it quickly because I don't have enough cardio in my life to sustain myself.
Need to work that out. Both of us do.
I'm going to get the heavy bag
back. All of us do.
Yeah.
Heavy bag's a good workout. It's a good stress reliever, too.
You've got it is. You've got space out there. Do it. Hang it up from the rafters and make sure that you like try to test yourself into knocking that shit off the rafters.
Well, the nice thing about a heavy bag, so like if you get a speed bag, like it does help with the cardio, but it doesn't, and it does kind of help with the accuracy, right? But you're not really doing a punching move per se.
Right. You're not really kind of following. You don't have
there's a no follow-through. It's just, you know, it's just this basically, right?
It's rhythmic.
It's rhythmic, but it, like when you get a heavy bag and you can get into a good rhythm of the heavy bag, you absorb those hits, and it makes you stronger just
especially,
by doing that.
Especially a hung, suspended heavy bag. Mm-hmm. I have tried multiple heavy bags that are on stands, and I cannot stand
it. You gotta have it to move back a little bit.
Yeah,
so that you have to adjust to it.
You have to adjust, and it lets you follow through a little bit better.
It lets you follow through better. You follow through on one that's on a stand, and you almost break your hand.
I know, because there is no give.
Because there's no give.
You got the padding, and that's
With a heavy bag that's hung from the ceiling, even if you don't have full gloves, you can tape your knuckles and not completely crush your hand.
Does toughen you up to tape your knuckles, but I will tell you, just get the fucking gloves that cover the top part of your hand. It'll make a world difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll go to work looking like you came out of Fight Club every day, and your knuckles, at a certain point, you just can't type anymore. I need to be able to feed myself.
Right?
I can only hit it with my thumbs.
I can only eat hot dogs
It would help our weight loss if we actually got back into martial arts.
Oh,
it'd also help our dexterity because let's face it.
I would look like Chris Farley. Well. Like American Ninja. I would be like fucking Chris Farley. I'd be like,
Well, it's like Babs has been asking me, do you want to go to the gym with me? And for myself at this point, I'm like, maybe in 20 pounds. I was like, what really happens at the gym is everybody looks at how fat you are.
Of course.
And I don't want to be that guy on the treadmill sweating while I got headphones on.
I'm going to be that guy anywhere I go.
Yeah, but with you, really.
What?
You're going to have to go through that.
I know. It's either that or I fucking, like, eat nothing but spinach, turn into Popeye, and just do push-ups at home. Like, millions of push-ups.
Millions.
And sit-ups. Otherwise, this just starts
hanging. What I'll end up having is I'll have, like, fucking... this will be completely fucking ripped, and I'll have, like, this gigantic beer belly.
Well, have you seen most of the actual, like, strength trainers?
Yeah.
Have big fucking guts.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because they're not working out their abs, they're not bodybuilding, but they're fucking working their arms and their lats and their their chest. Like they're not working their abs.
Yeah, they got a strong back,
but they don't have a strong stomach.
You look at power lifters and 9 out of 10 of them are chubby fucks.
Yeah, but they can fucking lift.
You want to know something?
They can lift the back of the truck.
These fucking, like, these string bean fucking kids that they're like, they go to the fucking, they go to the gym and they're like, I can do, this much in squats and this much in bench lift. And I'm like, okay, so squats, 400 pounds, you said. And you did how many reps? That's okay. So when I stand up, I am doing about that without any weights. So I could probably tack on another 200 and be perfectly fine. And the leg press machines, you go to the fucking gym, you get the leg press machines. And
you put a fat man on that, they can lift like a fucking car.
So I get onto the fucking leg press machine, and it goes from like 50 pounds to like 400. I think the maximum is like 450 or something like that. So one day I go in there and I put it at like 200 and I do some leg presses and it's like, okay, this is basically nothing. So I take it all the way the fuck down to all of the weight that's on that that leg press, and I know there's these two dudes over there just staring at me like, you know, what the fuck is he doing as I'm putting this down there? And I put it down to 450 and I do fucking 10 reps. Like nothing. And they just look at me like, what the fuck?
It's physics!
It's like, dude, I mean, I've been a big guy for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
And you don't get to be a big guy and still be able to move around if you don't have something to move it.
Well, that's like, so, last summer, there were a couple guys at work that worked out routinely on their lunch break, and they kept trying to talk me into it. And I'm like, I really can't, because if I do weight training in the gym right now, and I did it repetitively every day, my knee would collapse.
Yeah.
Because I do have issues with my right knee. So, but they wouldn't buy into it. And I'm like, no, you don't get it. My lower body strength is fine.
It's and they're up.
And they're like, I bet you can't even do what I do on the leg press. So okay. We go down to the gym in the tower. Their leg press machine, their leg press machine actually goes up to 650 pounds.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
So these guys are doing...
That'd be a challenge for me.
Right? These guys are doing 380, right? And they're pushing through 15 reps.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, that's just cute.
I drop that fucker to 650 pounds and I just start racking off.
Wham, wham. Yeah, it's like that. For me, it was like 450 was the max. And they're like, it's like easy.
How in the fucking hell do you do that? My thighs are still half the size of my torso each. Right?
Thunder so, thighs.
Hey,
even
fucking these aren't like these are fucking thunder thighs.
Well, here's the thing. So
like wave.
up until high school, I played soccer, and then in high school, I played football.
Mm-hmm.
I developed a lot of leg muscle. That leg muscle has never really left.
Yeah,
I mean, sure, it's lessened some, but not a whole lot. Even after not hitting a gym for 15 years.
Well, it's like I could still max out a Bowflex, but I can't do curls like I used to, right?
Right. No, it's
mm-hmm. like curls, my biceps have atrophied.
Right.
Yeah.
My chest, for whatever reason, never. I can still do 30 push-ups and not bat an eye, but I'm doing 30 push-ups with like 220 pounds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like when I hit a Bowflex and it's like maxes out at 250, I'm like, bring it. Yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal.
Well, that's like. And I'm the same way.
But I mean, I could probably do the reps, and I'd lose some weight, and then probably get myself.
To be honest, I could probably still carry Rusty on my back fairly easily, except for the fact that my back would fucking blow out because
his back would blow out, his fucking knee would go left ways, and it would be fucking. It would just be bad. It would just he would crumple.
But that's not because I can't lift the weight. It's just because I have a bad back.
You have fucking joint issues. That's definitely going to be a problem. Is yeah. Look, the skeletal but system
if
is
I,
the
if
is
I had to carry you man, out of a burning building, I still could.
You would just be laid up for a fucking few months.
For like a month, yeah.
So here on the Weightcast.
Yeah, well.
We talk weights and steroids.
Not really steroids, but
testosterone.
Testosterone and caffeine.
Balls.
Balls. But we got on this topic because of Jessica fight Jones. But I got to say, the second season of Jessica Jones, we've got 4 episodes left. It might actually be better than the first season.
I didn't know there was a second season out.
The second season dropped on the 9th.
Oh, so I'm way behind on all that stuff.
Yeah, you need to watch the second season. I won't say anything more because I finished it. And
so you watched both seasons back to back?
No, I watched the first season when it first came out all in one day. And then the second season came out and I'm looking through. Okay, so
I think I watched it in Vegas when I was out there.
I said, okay, I need to do something different. I need to take my mind off of things. And here I threw up Netflix and Jessica Jones is staring at me. And then right next to it says Voltron. And I'm like, oh, well, there's shows I could watch.
There's two really good shows.
So I watched Jessica Jones right away, and I spend an entire day basically watching Jessica Jones because it was good.
Oh yeah.
And then the next day I watched all of the Voltron, which was
six episodes.
Six episodes are fucking like what, in 2.5 hours or something?
Yeah.
But they're making it. They're coming out with Voltron episodes more often, which is a good sign.
So they're following the TV type format with Voltron, I guess, because it's easier on production.
Mm-hmm.
So they release 5 or 6 episodes in the fall, and then 5 or 6 episodes,
which is fine,
in the spring.
It's quality shit, though.
It is absolutely quality shit. I tell you what, DreamWorks is doing an amazing job with that series. And How to Train Your Dragon Race to the Edge is pretty fucking good, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been watching that with the kids. Because it's the actually kids really good.
Hey, I'm good. I'm down with, like, you know, the computer animated stuff, too.
I've actually wondered what the new Animaniacs was like.
There's a new Animaniacs?
Yeah, it's Hulu only, I think.
Yeah, it's Hulu only.
Oh, well, I don't have a subscription to Hulu, so...
You can get Hulu for free, though, can't you, as long as you watch the advertisements?
Yeah, but I don't think you can watch their content.
Oh, you have to get a premium sub.
So, yeah, there's some that you have to do that. The new Animaniacs, for me, I'm an OG
fan of Wacko, but I just don't know if it's going to...
OG Animaniacs is on Netflix right now. And every time Crystal's not home, that's what the kids and I watch.
The reason why Animaniacs was so great back in that time
because it had nods to adult humor.
Right. They had a perfect balance of making it okay to watch for kids, but if you were an adult and you caught the in-between joke, that was...
Oh,
like...
Especially with a lot of the... A lot of the Pinky the Brain.
I like Pinky the Brain.
And Slappy the Squirrel was definitely adult humor.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, she is definitely adult humor.
Well, some of the interactions between the Warner Brothers and their sister Dot.
And the psychiatrist gets pretty adult. But Slappy the Squirrel is definitely, always, 100% guaranteed, there are 4 adult jokes there.
If not more.
I didn't realize it was that old. It stopped in 98.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Another reason why we could be considered old. Kids these days
it's not going to be on until 2020.
Oh, really?
No. Yeah.
Well... If they don't preserve that...
Spielberg's going to be the director again.
Well, that's good. But if they don't preserve that, you know, that in-between, you know, on-the-line style fucking humor...
Yeah,
then it's not going to be Animaniacs for me.
Yeah, that's...
And they have to have that.
Yeah.
To make it relevant if it's just another cartoon.
Or at least stay intelligent enough that it doesn't completely piss off the adult. Like, Phineas and Ferb is actually one of the better shows for me and the kids to watch because it doesn't completely annoy the shit out of me.
Speaking of nostalgia, were either of you X-Files fans?
No, actually.
Of course.
Have you watched the new season?
No, I haven't.
So the first spinoff that came out last year, not bad. The second spinoff that's actually still going right now is pretty damn good.
Is it?
I fucking love X-Files.
I couldn't watch X-Files.
That first spinoff last year kind of scared me a little, so I've been waiting.
So wade through the first episode recap so much, trying to get you back into where the whole story is, that it's kind of heavy.
Oh, I made and it then, halfway but, through.
But no, on the season that just started again.
Oh, okay.
So that one's really heavy, and it's a lot going on. It was a really thick episode, and I was really worried when I watched it. I was like, there's so much going on. It's like they're trying to cram like half a season into one episode. And then the second and third episode hit, I was like, this is way back in the groove. Like, Duchovny's probably the best he's been ever. I feel like he's fucking subtly hilarious like he always was. It has a good amount of humor in it, and then Gillian Anderson is still really fucking good. And still way hot, especially for being like fucking 50 years old.
Actually, I think she's gotten hotter.
Like, I don't, she's got. Like, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it. She's like 50 years old.
If you go look at a picture of her now versus a picture in 1994.
Like, I don't know what the fuck happened.
She is hotter now.
It's probably plastic
surgery.
Than she
was then.
It's fucking Gillian Anderson. It's a lot of nerds' wet dreams, right? But, yeah, there's some references to Lone Gunman. There's some stuff about Lone Gunman and stuff like that in there with the new one. And they have, so they open with a really big episode that kind of explains the state of the story so far. And they jump into a lot of spin-off stories. So a lot of the monster stories, alien stories, government conspiracy stories. So it's very much back in that old vein that it used to be.
That's good, because last season really...
It was kind of okay.
It
was better than the movies, not nearly as good as the show from the
90s. It was somewhere, as vein-wise, it was somewhere in between the movie and the show.
I mean, it was better than T-1000 X-Files, but it wasn't as good as, like, 94 through 98 X-Files.
Yeah.
I'm a huge X-Files fan. I want to believe that it can still be good.
I mean...
And, you know, there's probably some critics out there that think it's really probably still shit. I'm really curious to what Mackie from BMF thinks. I mean, at some point, I'll probably ask him about it, but it's... to me, I like it a fair amount.
So, the original run of X-Files...
It's like 94 to 2002 or something like that.
Okay.
And so, they reprised it last year for like a 6-episode deal. Mm-hmm. And now they're on like a 12-episode run for the current season.
Yeah, because the 6-episode...
Was just a filler thing to see if there was interest. Yeah. Apparently
ton of viewership.
It's mostly people like my age and older that... Like, I used to watch it with my dad. My dad's a big X-Files fan. He was a big Twilight Zone fan way back in the day, right? So any of the weird, spooky shit growing up, that was kind of like my wheelhouse.
See,
it's probably why I like fucking XCOM so much, because it kind of plays into that kind of stuff. Right. Goofy-ass alien shit.
So whenever I could, I would watch...
But yeah, like, I actually liked that and... Babylon 5 more than I did Star Trek The Next Generation.
I couldn't fucking watch it.
Like, recently, like, Fringe was kind of like my binge. I say recently, it's been the last 10 years, but I fucking love Fringe, too.
Fringe was good.
Fringe was actually better than X-Files.
They took a Dawson's Creek actor and made him all right.
Yeah.
And it had, what's that older guy's name that plays the mad doctor?
Oh, I forget his name.
But he's fucking amazing.
Yes.
Denethor. From Lord of the Rings, but
I actually thought that was better than the X-Files.
Fringe was?
Yes.
I don't know. It kind of goes off the rails a little bit, but in a weird way.
It goes off the rails in a lot of weird ways.
But it had some cool shit.
But it did. So sci-fi shows for me was weird. For me, I couldn't actually watch The X-Files. You know, granted, 1993, I was still a fucking teenager, right? Still living in a house, still having to basically live by the rules and whatnot. And I didn't have a TV of my own other than like this old fucking like tube TV that I had my Super Nintendo connected to.
Yeah,
you know, so no cable or anything like that connected to it. So I couldn't watch The X-Files. I couldn't watch anything, you know, that was basically recent. Like, Babylon 5, couldn't watch it.
I never even touched Babylon 5.
Right. You know, X-Files, couldn't watch it, you know. And my only exposure to, like, the older sci-fi, the stuff that was, like, Twilight Zone and stuff like that was when I went over to my grandparents' place, they had satellite, and I could watch the Sci-Fi Channel when that came out.
That's a weird thing you mentioned your grandparents, because more than my dad, my grandmother that passed last year was the one that also introduced me to a lot of sci-fi, because she was really big into original Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. And when the reboot happened, I'd go over to her house and watch it with her.
Right.
So that was like our Sunday things, watch Battlestar Galactica, the reboot. Right. We also watched a lot of like old Star Trek, Star Trek Next Generation, X-Files when it was on at that time, and then Fringe when it recently came out, back up to the point where she got too delirious to really understand what was going on. But like that was, to me, like watching sci-fi reminds me of hanging with my cool grandma that also liked fucking weird shit.
Right.
Because it also spun into a weird thing. So my grandmother's father was old when he had her. So he was a geologist and a physicist back in the 30s. So, oh, wow. Like, and I won't go way into it, but like, he worked both sides as in worked for British Secret Service as well as a counterintelligence unit for the United States Secret Service or something like that. Wow. At some point. So, like, he was, like, she grew up with all sorts of weird science shit, right? So, like, it's, for her, it's like she always had an interest in it, even if it was into the fantastical. And that kind of reminded her, for whatever reason, just anything weird like that always kind of reminded her of her dad, who died back in the 70s. And then for me, it always reminds me of grandma. So, like,
right.
Sci-fi, I got strong ties to sci-fi.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't look at any comic books when I was a kid. I was a weird kid.
Right.
I didn't do comic books, where I know a lot of people did. And I didn't have any real interest in comics until they started making some kick-ass movies that actually were good. You know, starting with that Captain America movie that came out a few years back. I was like, oh, that's a good movie.
Right.
Fucking really? Cap is back.
You didn't even see Iron Man when it came out?
I didn't see the original until way later. 3 had come out, and then the girl I was dating was really big into comics, so we went back and watched all 3.
See, I never picked up any comics. The reason why for comics is even when I was growing up, it felt like I was just jumping into the middle of something, and I wanted to start at the beginning, and
that was really hard to do before the digital age, so to speak. Right. So, before this, you go buy a box set, which when you're at college age, like, that's expensive as shit.
Right.
Or you try to watch something real time, or when I was in college, TiVo's real big, so you try to start, like, recording shit, and then eventually you'd start it, like, pirating came out, and that became a thing, and so you'd start looking for back episodes, and they were in shitty VCD format, so it looked like ass when you were watching it on your PC.
Whatever.
You know, right, and then PCs at that time, it was a chore to get a DVI to AVI connector to get it to run to your tube TV.
Right,
right.
So you'd watch it on your fucking 22-inch monitor.
Well, then not only that, but you look at comics, and really when we were kids, like elementary school age, you still had all of these series never really had a new beginning. They were still continuing storylines from the 60s.
They keep rebooting them, you know.
They didn't really do a hard reboot of a lot of them, you know, and start them fresh and retell origin stories and whatnot for a more modern age until I was in junior high school or about, you know, until the late 90s.
See, some of those comics just don't age well.
To start at the beginning, you'd have to go back and get thousands of comics for where we were at when we were kids.
I know that I was, that when I had access to a website that had all of the Deadpool comics on it, I went through those while I was working. That was, somebody had just digitized fucking each page of comic and just put it up on a website so that I could go through and and basically read the comics digitally, which was nice, but it was still kind of in the middle of something, you know. I'm still trying to figure out what this character's about.
Yeah,
you know, and Deadpool's, well, I mean, there's a lot of something there.
Deadpool's actually not that bad. There's only about, because he's always been a monthly or a quarterly release. You've only got about, like, 500 issues total.
Still, right? 500 fucking issues, man. You're sitting here fucking like, okay, that is like, that's still a decent amount of content to get through.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, you can read through all the Deadpool within, like, a month or two.
There's a reason why there are YouTube video or YouTube channels out there that do nothing but
explain comic book characters.
Explain comic book characters, their origins, what kind of fucking shit they've gone through, what kind of interactions they have with other teams, and, like, these massive story arcs that have spanned, like, years. They try to condense the major details of those down into a video, and some of those videos are hours long. Like, and they have to spend hours trying to explain it to you.
All of that said, I was kind of in the same position. My family didn't really have a lot of money for comics, right? So, like, the only comic I actually read as a kid was Iron Man.
Archie.
That was the only one.
So, I had Bible comics, not gonna lie.
So a lot of my knowledge as far as the comic book universe actually came from on the Marvel side, actually came from Spider-Man the Animated Series and X-Men the Animated Series, because the only comic I read,
the closest thing I came to a comic was the animated series for Batman in the late 90s.
Yeah, right. The original Batman.
And that was pretty fucking good, actually. I've been thinking about going back and rewatching it.
That actually holds up now. Yep. I mean, sure, there are some parts of it where you go, wow, that's really 90s. But
if you read the comics at that time, it would be, oh, wow, that's really 90s.
Comparatively to most other cartoons, that actually holds up really well. And the
I remember the Clayface stuff being really fucking dark.
And the movie that kind of came after the original run of the animated series finished.
Mask
of the Phantasm. That is like one of the top three Batman movies ever. I don't care if it's animated. It beats most of the live action movies.
He's convicted. So I'm going to steer this.
Plus, Kevin Conroy is my favorite Batman.
I'm going to steer this a little bit. Who's been playing games?
Nobody.
I have. Tetris?
Well, see, I've gotten all of about maybe 5 hours worth of Tetris.
Okay.
Wow.
Jason, have you been playing anything?
5 hours?
Well, I've been working like my...
you're in a weird situation with your job.
It's crazy amount of work right now, so...
We've had a lot of things happening with the kids in the last week, so... Pretty much it's been after the kids go to bed, we've literally sat down, watched an episode or two or something on Netflix and gone to sleep.
I was able to, like I said, I spent some time watching, one of my days off, I watched, Jessica Jones, and then I watched the other 2.5 hours for the Voltron.
Plus, so. I'm taking most of next week off because the kids are on spring break.
Oh, that's what's happening.
So
shit, that's next week.
So, like, all of this past week, I've been at work for between 9 and 11 hours every day to make sure I had all my shit done.
I was wondering why all the tweeners out was going crazy and freaking, like...
Most of the schools in this area actually start spring break on Thursday.
That explains a lot, because... There's a bunch of teenagers that live, in the apartment right next to me, and they fucking, like, run up and down the fucking steps like fucking elephants, and they slam their door every time. Oh my god, I love living in an apartment. I love it so much.
Well, you have something.
You miss my house yet?
No, actually, I will take the slamming door over the random screams.
Well, the nice thing is I do have something to report, and I'll go through the quick stuff first.
Sweet!
I retaught myself how to fly in Elite Dangerous.
That probably took a couple hours.
I went through the training mission and said I want to wreck a ship. And then I flew my ship back to base where I had all my other ships. And then I decided I can't really play this in a couple hours at a time, so I'm going to put it down for a minute and try something else because I have some things on my list, right?
Right.
Played a little bit of 7 Days to Die, and then I realized I need a buddy to play that to really have fun because I was getting fucking destroyed. And then I jumped into Pillars of Eternity because I thought, and this will be part of the new segment, but I'll just spoil it now.
Okay.
So Pillars of Eternity Deadfire got delayed. It was originally going to come out in like a week and a half. And it got delayed to March 8th, which is okay. I mean, if they want to make it a better game, that's fine.
You mean April
8th? May 8th.
May.
But I put 30 hours into it over the last week and a half. That game's still pretty fun. I've got I'll give you guys some things to do that'll at least point you in the right direction if you decide to play that game. Cypher is probably where it's at. I tried a Barbarian, I've restarted that game like 45 times. That's why I have almost 200 hours in it. I've gotten through the first act with a character and decided I wanted to try something else because of my fucking ADD. But I decided to stick with the Cypher this time because I have a lot of games that are at the end level and I can't remember how to play them or what I'm doing. So I went back and I've started a Cypher again. And Cypher, best bet with that is pump intelligence, might, and dex into him. And basically what he does is for every time he makes a hit, he gets so many will points to spend on a spell. And all the spells hit like a fucking truck, but they're mostly... most of them are single target, but he's had some really good AoE spells. And so I loaded him up with a blunderbuss, which gets multiple attacks per shot, even though it's slow. Which also means that I get like 3 spells per hit, which is really fucking awesome. And he's like just eating face through the whole game right now. So I've got the Cypher, I've got a couple of... a tank, a paladin... you know, it's kind of like, it's just a good game. I'm pretty hooked again, but I realized I got 30 hours in and then realized that game got delayed. And I was like, oh, I got something else I need to play. So I'm going to put it off. Right. I'll come back to it. I'm going to put it off till next month and finish it. But, so I ended up playing a whole campaign of, They Are Billions, and I beat a map finally.
What?
That is a hard game. I will say I played it on almost the easiest difficulty, and it was hard. And it's I keep hearing the review or reading the review of the Dark Souls of RTS. It's not. I fucking hate people saying the Dark Souls. Got to bring that into every episode, though. But I will say this: like I thought about it a little bit differently. I started pre-planning a little bit. Usually, what my issue is I've got one weak point and don't fortify things equally. So what will happen is as I'm fortifying stuff, I'll throw too many guys on that one wall and leave something else exposed while I'm fortifying the one wall. And so I ended up spreading out my units across, and I figured out about how far I wanted to expand, and then I kind of stopped and started upgrading stuff. Ended up getting myself a pretty decent 2-wall defense with a lot of extra towers and extra units and fucking cleaned the map up. And then I got these guys that... have these fucking rocket launchers or mortar, and I put one of those guys on each wall, and then I figured I needed more because I watched them decimate waves of enemies, because if they're behind 2 walls, they can fucking kill like 30 of these fucking zombies at a time, which is pretty glorious. So I ended up sticking like 6 per wall, and I had like 12 walls. So I had a fucking army of these guys with mortars, and then of course the very last wave, it says They Are Billions, and then the whole map fills up with enemy. So, like, it's Zerg Swarm times 30,000. Like, it's literally just swarms, and just watching them decimate everything was really fucking satisfying. I was like, I finally figured it out. I finally am beating this game. It was a really fun feeling. It took me about 4.5 hours to beat. So, now that I kind of got a handle on it, I'll probably play another campaign, or I might wait till the actual campaign comes out, because they're going to do a roguelite thing with their campaign. So it'll be basically like rid the world of infection, and you'll go through the map, and as you're going through the map, you're going to have different objectives based on the area you're in, and then that will fund different upgrades for the campaign, so that every campaign will be different. So it'll put it in kind of like that weird XCOM roguelite type campaign where the basic overall goal is the same, but the mission types will vary as you go, and probably have a shitload of replayability. So if this game finalizes this year, I think it'll be a pretty highly rated game for me, because it favors turtling hard, and I really like turtling in games, that like RTS games. And it lets you turtle like a motherfucker. Like, it is great because...
Turtle like a motherfucker.
It's all about strengthening your defense and then expanding, which is what I lose at when I play StarCraft. So because it favors that kind of RTS strategy, and it's a balance, right? To get more resources, you ultimately have to expand, which means you need to strategically expand in different areas as you go. But the tech behind it is really fucking impressive. It's just insane to see how many fucking enemies they put on screen. I've been playing it in 4K. I wanted to see it in its full glory, and it runs great in 4K. Optimization on that game is fucking fantastic. Now, I don't know. I mean, really, I have a last-gen card. I have a Titan Black, right?
Right.
Which at its time, in its heyday, was pretty fucking beefy. Now it's about like a 1070 Ti, right? Which a 1070 nowadays is pretty expensive because of Bitcoin mining, but 6 months ago, it was a $300 card. So, you know, it's a high tier, but not highest tier game that runs, it's mostly CPU heavy. So, it's a fucking great game for RTS stuff, and it does make you think a little bit differently about how you play your RTS. And there's nothing, no janky-ass weird micromanagement shit. There's the micromanagement of, I need to put these guys here, I need to group up a set of scouts so I can figure out where they call them like the Hotels of Evil or something like that.
The Village of Doom.
Village of Doom, yeah, the Hotel of Evil. Village of Doom. What a Village of Doom is, it's a spawner. And so the way you get rid of those is you usually get a squad of snipers and you take them, put them at max range, and then support them with other classes. Usually set a group of soldiers in front of them to pick off things or to get it in front of them. We'll let the snipers take out each of the buildings they go.
Rangers, snipers, Thanatos, and Titan.
Thanatos are fucking great. I think Thanatos are the ones that are in the mech suits.
Okay.
I was putting two of those per wall to help mitigate the breach. They're guys in mech suits with basically heavy machine guns on each arm, and they just fucking decimate shit. They have some units that are broke that are basically flamethrower guys because they damage everybody else. And that's something they're fixing right now. But, like, overall, the game is... Take the zombie aspect out of it, if you're not a big fan of zombies. But it just creates hordes of enemies, right? And they're... It does the special infected thing. You got a spitter, right, that does damage over your walls. You have a leaper that looks kind of like a witch from Left 4 Dead that will jump over both walls, that has decently high health, and will fucking rip your guys apart. And also infect your buildings really fast. You've got a big... like fat bloated guy, right, that blows up when he dies. It also has a lot of health. It also hits pretty hard. And then you have your basic infected. You have the recently infected, which run, and you have the basic infected, which come in huge hordes. But that's not really the appeal. The appeal is you can get fucking 30,000 of these, like, little guys at that full resolution, all, like, animating on their own. And it's fun. It's gory, but, like, you have this thing that shoots out an electronic wave that shocks and kills them, and it looks like the ocean when it hits them. It hits them, and these guys die in front of it, and you see the ripple effect as it goes to the crowd. Nice. It's the tech behind it is fucking incredible.
See, and this is going to sound fucking, like, way off the wall, but for me, it would be better if it was anything other than zombies. If you just, the descriptions that you gave me is like, okay, if it was just like a sea of attacking penguins, I would be better off playing this game. It could be, they are billions of penguins, and I would be perfectly fine playing this game of, like, a constant attack of, like, evil penguins.
Well, so, I mean, it's a game of patience, right? So I've played it multiple times and died a lot. I've put 26 hours into it, and I finally beat a map, right? But I did have fun getting up to that point, and like, oh, I fucked up here, this is why I died, right? Mm-hmm. The game saves constantly. So it's not like I can Alt-F4 out of it. If I Alt-F4 and then get back into the game, it's basically right where I was at. And then when you die, like, it erases your save, you got to start over. So it is Iron Man all the fucking time. But there's an appeal to that because... you learn from it every time, right? And every map's different. And they've got several different map types.
See, games that do this, you know, the anti-save scumming and the I'm going to delete your save, that is a new problem.
Yeah.
See, the And for me, as what I would consider an OG gamer, that's not a problem. See, when you put in an Atari cartridge and you hit the Switch and you play a game on the Atari, you got so many lives, if there was lives at all, and you got as far as you got, and when you were done, you start over again.
Yep.
Level 101, man.
It was big when Nintendo made it on a lot of their games not long after they first released the console, where you could enter a code.
Yeah, it was a
to
a
go level back code. To the level that you last played.
Right. So, and then of course you had the whole magazine where, or the publications where you could get the codes so that you could skip levels. But
yeah,
but yeah, I mean, this Iron Man mode for games, it's like, that's just bringing it back to the OG style game. You play a game, you put whatever time you're going to put into it, and you either win or you lose. And
it brings something to light. Like, I've thought about going back through XCOM and putting it on Iron Man mode, and just living with the deaths.
See, that's a see for me, XCOM that way. I have a problem with XCOM and Iron Man mode. And the problem I have is...
Your friends die?
Not necessarily my friends die. It's that each individual character has a set of progression. And if you lose a character, it really bones you. Like,
but it does force you to play the game a little bit differently. You're like, should I take this chance or should I not? And it adds a level of risk-reward that you're not normally get.
Sure. But, so, the games that I have no problems with on Iron Man mode is games that require a set of skill. Okay? Where the game success is based off of your skill.
There's a level of tactics behind XCOM.
So, XCOM, you can get fucked if you rock up with your fucking, like, your fucking ranger with a fucking shotgun, and you rock up to the enemy, and you know that you can get a double tap off on this guy, but you've got, like, a 97% chance to hit, and you miss both shots. And then that fucking, alien is going to go, oh, look, launch, and fucking be done with you. And that 3% chance to miss turns into a 100% chance to fucking die. I have a problem with the RNG.
He has a point there.
You have a point, but I think I may go back through it. I am going to switch gears a little bit, though. So there's a game that I said I was going to refund. That I was playing when you guys got here.
Yeah.
That game's Pit People. The guys behind Pit People is Behemoth Games, the guys that did Castle Crashers and
Pit People.
Battle Block Theater. Both which are excellent games. Both a little bit button mashy. And I figured out what my problem was with Pit People initially. It was not the humor. The humor is pretty out there. It's very Homestar Runner with a little bit more adult themes, right? It's really the fuck out there. It's way more out there than most Adult Swim ever was, but more in a classic Adult Swim kind of way. The humor is fucking spot on to my sensitivity to it.
Right.
The condescending narrator is fucking great. I actually had no problem with that when I first started. I just didn't like the gameplay because I was coming off of Into the Breach. And then I read an article, it might have been PC Gamer or Rock Paper Shotgun, the guy was actually saying the same thing. And this after I'd said it on the show. I was playing Into the Breach, and then we got a copy of Pit People, and it just did not click for a while. And then he said it wasn't until I got to the missions that I ended up figuring out what the appeal was of Pit People. And then I figured out what the tactics were of it. The tactics of Pit People is the composition of your team. And you collect people via nets, which is very much Pokemon in a way. So instead of a Pokeball, you have a net, and you go and you do these fights, and as long as you have one cage on you, you can capture the last enemy standing. And that enemy has a set of skills depending on what they are. Now, the character types are all sorts of fucking weird. You got the, like, spider centurion things that are, like, people on six legs. They're sort of like spiders. But
spiders have feet.
Right. Well, it has beetle men, I don't know, but
Beetle men.
But whatever the fuck they are, they're pretty weird. You got the fucking, like, vampire dogs.
Beetlejuice. Sorry.
Beetlejuice.
Sorry.
But,
really.
But they have, you know, all sorts of fucking wacky-ass weapons, and it's like, let's throw these, like, three things, like, there's a hot dog bow. Like, it's fucking out there.
A hot dog bow. Hold on a second. Are you hungry? Open your mouth.
I mean, the healer is...
Open your mouth and close your eyes.
The main healer class is a cupcake, and he scoops out part of his own life to heal others. So he shoots cream at all the other guys. His vanilla filling is what heals the rest of your team.
His white vanilla filling.
He's got a spoon on his back, and he scoops off the top of his filling and tosses it at somebody, and that heals them.
So he takes damage while he heals?
He does take damage. He takes some damage while he heals for more than the damage he takes.
Can he heal himself?
Cannot heal himself. He can level up, though. And you can camp. Which means you have finite healing with him, right? But the strategy works with that is you start isolating individual enemies with the people, right? So I know that my guy that throws nets can also do damage up close. So if I need to immobilize an enemy, he can also throw a net that immobilizes the enemy. Or I can get him up close, and he's got a real high dodge chance, and he can do piercing damage. I've got a tank that every time that arrows are shot in my general vicinity, I don't know what the square range is, but the hex range is, but around him in a certain hex, he blocks projectiles from the rest of the team and takes minimal damage. The shield takes the brunt of it. I've got a mace-wielding person, and the mace person does damage versus helmets. So if I got a heavily armored enemy, I take the mace person and put them in the mix to do that. My shield bearer actually has a crit sword, so he does pretty good crit damage, but he does reduce damage because he's wearing heavy armor. I've got a guy that shoots as a dynamite bow, and it's literally like a backpack full of dynamite sticks with a TNT plunger that somehow is a bow. And then he takes the TNT plunger and pulls the plunger back and then shoots six of dynamite out, which does explosive damage in a radius around whatever he shoots. It highlights what they're probably going to hit. So if you got enemies bunched together, if it's a melee unit, it's going to be the adjacent melee units that it's going to attack. It doesn't give you a probability on what they're going to attack, so you position them in a way that they only got one or two things to hit. Most of the time, the enemies don't clump up with each other, but if they do, then it's going to pick one or the other. So you usually stack two or three people next to it to fight, because they do fight on their own. It's kind of a management game in that regard. But the strategy lies in the type of classes. I got like a rainbow horse. I forget what the...
Rainbow horse.
He shoots his horn off, and when he shoots his horn off, it does a area of effect of rainbow damage.
That's a unicorn.
I think they call it a rainbow horse.
That's definitely a unicorn.
Definitely a unicorn, but they call it a rainbow horse.
Of course, because it's pit people. Why would you... Oh, God.
That sense of humor is definitely throughout the entire game. That type of, like, weird, again, kind of Newgroundsy kind of humor. But it does, like, if you like, it's extremely the fuck out there. There's not a central theme other than just fucking nutty. it's bizarre. It's, in a way, kind of, like, immature. Immature is the wrong word, but maybe it is the right word. It's kiddish in its sensibilities, but adult in its humor, if that makes sense. It's pretty lowbrow most of the time.
It's the Animaniacs of games.
I mean, you can poop to mark your location. So, I mean, like, if you need to figure out if I was there, you can take a dump where you're at, and then it leaves a poop trail.
That's awesome.
Well, all right, then.
So, I mean,
that poop looks like me.
But the game overall, as a whole...
Literally.
I recommend watch like a couple cutscenes to get the humor from the cutscenes. No, it's a little bit grindy, but it's a little bit of a monster catcher kind of game, right? So you get the different characters that have their different abilities. Usually the abilities are different based on their range. So, like, I had a guy that threw hatchets, and if he was right up next to an enemy, he would hit them with the hatchets full force. And if I put him at range, he did stun damage with the hatchets. So It was actually a pair of scissors that he had in each hand. He threw them from the blade, which is a really weird way of doing it. But
did he run with the scissors?
I mean, he kind of jogged. But jogging with scissors. But, like, pity people, after I started figuring out that there were missions and that there was an objective to the game and that the game was really more about collecting different types and then the different type, the team comp is kind of what won you the battle, right? And that a lot of the ways to win the fight dealt with positioning and who had a good chance of attacking what, and what was your priority targets and things like that. I found a sense of tactics there that were kind of unique to the game. And I did like monster catching quite a bit. So I sunk about 4 hours into it over the last couple nights and had a pretty all right time with it so far. Like, I'm kind of addicted to it. So I'll probably finish it. I mean, I might jump back and forth between three games, but it's one of the ones that's going to make the rotation. So
I'm looking through the unit types for this.
I think it's like 100 or 200 unit types.
Melee, human, and demiclops. There's vampires, wraiths, mascots.
My wraith is one of my top characters.
Rainbow horse with unicorn in parentheses. Cyclops, gnomes, kobolds, spiders.
Yeah, it's the weird characters that if they're female, they wear pantyhose on their legs. And they carry a chair on their back so you can put characters on their back and then they take the damage.
Oh, sweet.
And then you can put like an archer on the back so the archer is more protected.
Sweet.
And they do a stun attack.
Hair trolls.
Yeah, they're hair trolls.
Okay. Electrobots. Mushrooms. Zombies. Cupcakes, as you said. Gorgons. You can have gorgons? Do they turn people into
stones? I don't know. I haven't run across any of them.
Octoclops. Troll mom.
Haven't run across a troll mom yet.
Okay. Well, these are all unit types that you can pick up. It's just like a few of them. Because there's a bunch.
Yeah, like I said, there's like 50 or 100.
What? Yeah, so yeah. That's, wow. Alright, well, if it's a...
Maybe there's not 50 or 100.
There's a few. Like, I think there's I went through quite most a few. Of them. You know, there's like male and female versions of each, and they all have different bonuses, weaknesses, unique abilities, works well with others, does not work well with others, things like that. So, yeah. Great. I told you you should have given it a chance. You played, like, what, an hour or two and said, nah, fuck this game.
I could see why it would be fun with co-op. Apparently you can do markers, kind of like you do in World of Warcraft. To figure out, like, if you aren't talking to the person, you can set markers on different things so that you can advise somebody what attack order to kill things in.
Yeah. Priority orders. It's not just a World of Warcraft thing, by the way.
They started it, though.
Debatable.
Did Ultima Online have symbols that you could put on things?
Maybe.
After a while.
Though I think that you only really had, like, one or two things at a time.
Yeah.
Just the limitations of that game. I don't know. I hadn't played a whole lot of, like, end game on that. But
Maybe there's not 50. I mean, the whole list is...
It's a page and a half.
Like, maybe 20 or something?
Yeah. But still, I mean, each one of those characters is going to have something unique about them, right?
Right, which means you can have some pretty unique comps or team comps, right? But the music's kind of alright. It's got a unique bounce to it. Everything fucking bounces.
Everything bounces, including my head while you were in the fucking town or whatever the fuck you were at. I was like, okay, why is my head doing this?
And I turned up the bass. Like, it's when I play it through my headphones, like it's... And every track has a certain amount of, like, thump to it.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sitting here bouncing my head to it.
It's pretty fucking catchy. Would be fun to play co-op, I think.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Folks, we need to co-op more.
I need to play games. You need not to play just games. Tetris.
Well, and
I need to play games.
I even thought about, this is how bad I'm starting for co-op. I'm actually thinking about buying Elite Dangerous on Xbox One, because Nip's playing it on Xbox One right now. I would start from the beginning to have a squadron.
Wow. That's some dedication that's right there. That's special. I don't know, I have like fucking 200 plus hours in that game, and I'm nowhere near rich, but still, I wouldn't want to give up what I have.
It's one of those things where you kind of played it, you play it for a while, and you realize that you need the... Most of that is the experience of figuring it out, right?
Well, true, like,
I even went through and recustomized... I watched a couple of videos on how different people set up their Xbox controllers, and originally I had the... What is it? The yaw when you just go left and right? Had the yaw and the up and down on the right controller, and then one guy said, on the right stick, and he said, what you do is you set the roll and the up and down to the right, and then you set all the up and down and the left and right on your left stick, and then it's like playing an FPS. And so it took me about 20 minutes to kind of get used to flying like that, but you get a lot more fine aim because you're used to aiming with your left stick to begin with, because left, right, up, down, right? If you pitch on your axis, that gives you a better way of aiming, and then you do some of the flight controls, so you're rolling and your horizontal or your vertical thrust all on the left stick.
See, I think I was playing that way. I'm thinking back because the controller setup for Elite Dangerous is arcane. It requires some thought, especially when you end up having like modifiers where you have to hold down on the directional pad to get different keys to light up.
I never figured out how to get horizontal thrust set on anything other than the landing controls, where you just actually thrust left or thrust right instead of yaw.
There was, I think there's a modifier that you can use for it.
But I wanted to have that for my flight because that was the one thing I was missing.
Because you wanted to be able to fucking like circle strafe and
And so instead, what I ended up doing is I'd turn off flight assist and then roll weird sideways or fly straight up or something, right?
See, I would always, I would end up doing a roll and doing this kind of thing. So I would end up doing like an elliptical, an elliptical turn. So I wasn't like edge on, staying on the same plane, moving left and right like a strafe.
Yeah,
I was taking like the fighter pilots, situation where we'd essentially end up jousting.
Well,
so we'd do the head on pass, and we'd end up passing each other, and then we'd end up doing
looping back on each other.
Yep, and then joust.
One of the things that when I was reading up on this originally, is my basic tactic was you fly head on, and as you're flying head on, you turn off flight assist
right as you're about to pass,
and then you flip it around backwards and then hit your afterburners, and then you're behind them.
You could do that, but you have to actually like fight the momentum. So
that's where you put all pips to engines right before you hit them. That way you can get the afterburn to crank back around and get behind them.
Yeah.
And that tactic seemed to work fucking great.
As long as you can stay on their butt, in a dogfight situation for that game, as long as you're not fighting something super fast, you're fine. And if you can find the weak spot on some of the bigger ships, like where only one turret can get to you, and you can target that turret and destroy it. The Vulture, not the Vulture, but the Python.
Yeah.
If you can get into a very specific point on a Python and stay on that point, you can only be shot by one or two of the turrets, and you can take those turrets out fairly quickly. If you can get through their shields, so that you can basically just stay on their ass and just constantly kill them, which is kind of the point, because if you get head on with a python, you're fucked.
Right.
When they can bring all their guns to bear on you, fuck. You're better dead. You better run. So, yeah, that game has some depth to it. You know, a lot more depth now. And
it's got a shitload of replayability, and it's one of those things, like, the way this year's games are panning out, like, I'm probably going to wait on Far Cry, right, to see what it's like. That does look fun, but I'm in a spot where I want to play a really long-ass game.
I found my really long-ass game. I need to find some short-ass games that I can play. Because Tetris, man, Tetris has some replayability.
So you say.
So, without getting super deep into this fucking thing, because I've been talking about it for fucking months now, I decided that I'm going to pick up the crafting in this game. And crafting, and so, those people who are confused at this point, Tetris is my code word for Final Fantasy XIV, because they won't let me use Final Fantasy XIV as a tag on these things anymore, and without getting like an eye roll and some fucking jabs in. So, Final Fantasy XIV crafting is a whole fucking another set of game, and you have to level all of your crafters at essentially the same time. So, if you start that game and you pick up a job and you end up getting to max level, great. You're fucking like a healer at level 70. Perfect. You've gotten one job to 70. Big thumbs up to you. You know, you've got, you know, now you can do the end game and do the whole like combat and healing shit, right? Fuck yeah. There is 3 gatherer classes and I think like 7 or 8 crafter classes. And each one of those takes about the same amount of time to get to level 70 as your combat class. And if you do crafting and you're going to be serious about it, you need to level all of them all at the same time.
Let's play some Elite Dangerous.
So, yeah.
You know, if we play, crazy. If we played it on Xbox, there's a whole bunch of TVG people that are finally playing it too.
Yeah, but I just bought that on PC. I'll get it on Xbox.
Shit, come on, Jason.
Yeah. Jason, why
I've just got I've just got to install it, and we're good. Spend a couple hours learning to fly.
Couple days. We're learning to fly.
We'll just watch Jason go in circles and bump into things.
How many times did... no. How I learned how to fly was not necessarily... Okay, so I spent the first few days just trying to enter and exit fucking space stations. And that is stressful as fuck when you first start. The learning curve is pretty steep.
Well, I found an exercise online that helps with fighter pilot stuff.
Right.
Find an asteroid and try to circle it while keeping your nose pointed at the asteroid.
Okay, cool.
So it's a good way of staying on point while being able to outmaneuver.
And that's fantastic. Problem is that some ships just won't let you do that because it turns like a boat, like a big boat. Like
no, practice with something like an eagle or like a cobra would probably be good to practice with because it's not real maneuverable, but it's maneuverable enough.
If you can, I think do a
Cobra is probably your best starter fighter ship because it's got the boost to get you out of there. You don't have to fly it that well. You just need to know how to turn off flight assist and hit afterburners.
So I think that the best way to go about things is to get yourself into a minivan. And remember the fucking...
The like, Adder?
No, not the Adder. It
starts with an H, doesn't it?
I forget. It's the one of the very first transport ships that you can get.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm going to have to find it now.
But, you know, the interior of that thing looks like a fucking, like, 90s minivan.
It really looks like an Astro.
It's made of plastic. It's fucking terrible. But if you can get into one of those and then get into a combat situation and escape and live, Then
yeah, I used to think that you could fight with it, and then that was a bad idea.
So there's right? that. But I've also
it's called a hauler.
A hauler. Hey,
that is the minivan.
The minivan hauler. If you can get into the minivan and survive it, and you have to stay in the minivan stage for a period of time. Okay, because yeah. I was in the minivan stage for a while. That was my first Explorer. I used that as my exploring ship, and my God, that fucking minivan cockpit, man. It was...
I want to work my way towards a federal assault ship.
It made my eyes bleed. A federal assault ship requires you to have, like, rep and fuck all that.
Apparently that's gotten a lot easier lately.
Well, that's great, but... Fuck all that.
Vulture's kind of like my go-to fighter right now.
Because you have to have rep, and then you have to do a bunch of missions for the rep, and then you have to do missions to rank up, and that's fine and dandy, I guess, but for me, it's all about exploration. The fucking galaxy is just way too pretty to be stuck in one little corner of it. And right. that's the reason why I said this game needs to be explored. You know, there's too much that is just cool looking shit. And I found some really cool looking shit in that game just spending like a month worth of exploring. You know, like a month worth of real time fucking log in every day for a few hours and jump through some fucking systems and explore.
Yeah.
You know, if you do the exploring just for the points, like just to get the exploration data and stuff, it's all right. But like you find interesting looking worlds and you get close enough to them to see the actual detail instead of a speck on the screen, then you take screenshots because, I mean, you can get some really fucking cool screenshots out of that. The game's beautiful. Just... You know, a lot of it is just underappreciated because most people think of it as a combat sim, and it's
really not at the heart of
it. It's a sim. That's here. It even has vents
like an Astro.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's just a picture. It says why.
It's just like you gotta have. AC vents, man. It's got to be right there. It makes...
Oh, I think the OCD here is that some of those vents are turned down and the other ones are open.
Yes. Why? Everything about the hauler cockpit just... It makes you want to... It makes your eyes bleed. It's terrible. Like,
the side... It even kind of looks cockpit. Like a minivan, so that's what a hauler looks like on the outside. It is. It's just. Yeah. It's a fucking boat.
It's not. It's not. I agree. It's a shuttle. It is only meant to get you from point A to point B. You know, and you know, not much else. It can haul a sack of potatoes, and that's about it.
That's somebody else's interpretation of the hauler.
That's exactly what I think of it as. Yeah, it's a big Winnebago.
Winnebago.
It's a Winnebago. It doesn't even go ludicrous speed.
Lone Star.
The Winnebago was more interesting than the hauler is. It's terrible. It's just a bad ship. I mean, there's
no. It's a ship that costs like 80,000 credits, and you can put a decent jump drive in it. It carries enough cargo to earn you credits fast as long as you don't get shot down. And really, the only thing worth investing on there is
fast a good... is a relative term. I could make way more credits with, you know, with some other ships. As soon as you can get into the types...
I have like a Type 6 or a Type 7 that I do better with, and I got a Keelback that I've been working with.
If you can get into the Type 6, Type 7, Type 6 is kind of... is actually shaped like a Winnebago.
The Type 6 isn't that bad, though. Like, I felt really cocky one time, and I got it and was playing it multiplayer and was transporting expensive stuff. Mm-hmm. I filled up at about half my hold, but I also armored the sucker and put the best engines I could put on it and got a couple of decent hard points. I got one hard point that was a laser, like a gimbal tracking laser, uh-huh. and then I got some tracking missiles on it. And I would go out there and then hope that I got jumped by, like, an eagle or something like that. Because I got pretty familiar with the flight assist by the time I was trying to fight with my Type 6. And you would get somebody to get real cocky and get on you, and then I hit my fucking chaff or whatever, and then flip behind them, like, pump the brakes and hit flight assist, fly backwards, and they'd overshoot me, and I'd get behind them, blow their fucking shields off, and then shoot a fucking rocket up their ass. Nothing more humiliating than getting having shot. Your eagle destroyed by a fucking boat. It's a fucking Winnebago with guns.
Hey, this Winnebago's got teeth.
I liked it because it felt like you were playing a stripped down version of the Millennium Falcon, because it was the same concept, right?
Right.
You had a smuggling vessel that I put decent engines in, and right now it's the most outfitted vessel I have is my fucking Type 6.
No.
I mean, I remember stripping down some of the parts I had on my Vulture so that I could put stuff, selling off stuff so I could make my Type 6 beefy.
I made...
Because I only have, 3 million credits right now, and the fucking big lasers cost, almost a million for the Vulture, because it's got two large hard points.
I think I've still got all of the stuff that I made a bunch of money doing the exploration. And then I did a fair amount of trading for a while when I was playing. So I had a fair bank. So I decided that I would buy a Python. And I outfitted that. And that is...
Well, a Python is a fucking battle wagon.
It is. It requires some work to use. But
yeah, the turn radius on it is definitely not what it is on my fucking Vulture.
No, but
that Vulture will fucking spin on its middle.
I really wanted to get a Type 9. And I play offline, so I really don't have to worry about being ganked by random players, but still running a Type 9.
Well, what got me thinking about playing it on Xbox is Nymph was posting about Elite Dangerous. It's like, you play Elite? He's like, on Xbox. And I was like, damn it!
Son of a bitch.
Damn it! If they do another sale, I may pick it up on Xbox.
I don't know if I could do it. Because I require the keyboard and mouse when I play play it on PC, so...
I'm really curious about how the controls are on Xbox, because there's a couple things I use keyboard and mouse for.
Right, and being able to, to hit a specific key on the keyboard to be able to make jumps or things like that.
My inner key was my quick launch chaff key.
Right.
So that way I didn't have to switch weapon groups to fire it,
Right.
Because it's really important. Half the time you get jumped by three or four ships and you need your chaff.
Right. No, and for me, just exploring was bring up the map and then, set the jump or... to enter and exit, what is it? The fucking hyperspeed.
Super Cruise.
Super Cruise, that's it, yeah. To enter and exit Super Cruise, I had a button that would let me do that instead of having to pick a point and go there. I could just enter Super Cruise at any one point. So... I don't know. I don't know if I could pick it up on Xbox. I just couldn't. Probably play it on PC-ish, maybe. I don't know. Fucking so many games. So many games!
So many
games. There's really plenty of stuff still to play.
There really is.
And there is, I know that I haven't been the best of examples here because I've been playing fucking Tetris for a while.
Since the beginning of the year.
But
it's March.
I know. Fuck off, dick. But we feel like we've got this obligation to have extra games to play or, play games as they come out. And some of these games do require you to sink some time into it to really enjoy it. So it's difficult sometimes just for us to be able to have something to talk about, to be able to really just dig into a game and just like freaking like, you know, mainline that shit and just be able to fucking like really get to the end game and be able to experience what like being powerful is. It's like, we get to spend, well, I don't know, for me, I get to spend like maybe 5 or 10 hours in, you know, in a game, and I have this feeling of constantly being the low level dude, you know, always playing the beginning of a game, but hardly ever seeing the end of it anymore. Maybe I'm just getting old.
Yeah, no. It's definitely a adult life thing. I mean, shit. The last game I hardcore mainlined was Andromeda.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I enjoyed Andromeda.
I know you did. You're crazy, but hey, whatever. I can have an opinion of you and the game. It's, you know, and it doesn't necessarily need to be the same opinion, but in this case it is.
Thanks, buddy.
Terrible.
Jackass. Terrible. You're a terrible friend.
I know, but hey, at least I'm not lying to your face.
'Tis true.
All right.
Is it time for a break?
It's time for a break. Let's do that thing.
Let's take a break.
All right, we'll be back.
And we're back.
Yay!
Effing poop. We are back. Now, there's not a whole lot of small stories out right now that I feel like are real, real interesting. But there might be a couple of bigger things. I know that there's a couple of games coming out that I think people should keep their eyes on.
Yes.
Right now, if you guys like Halcyon 6, they've got a new game coming out. It's called Star Renegades. Which is more of a ground-based battle RPG, kind of in the same vein that Halcyon 6 was. Halcyon 6 was basically like Final Fantasy IV, but in space with Star Trek references. Not a bad little game. I'd be interested in checking out the other game. But it's another kind of roguelite RPG where Halcyon 6 was kind of like, it has some really fucking good pixel art, if you're into that kind of thing, and I do like the RPG thing, so worth looking at. I don't know that it's going to be out anytime soon, but keep an eye out because Massive Damage seems to do pretty all right on their games. Bard's Tale 4 is still trucking along. I don't know if it's coming out this year or not, but Brian Fargo can take as long as he wants to get that out there because...
Make it right.
Make it right. Bard's Tale's got a lot to live up to.
Make it right. Make it good.
Make it good. And as far as like games coming out, I mean, you guys know that Far Cry 5, is that what it is now?
Far Cry 5, also known as the Massive Religious Edition.
Right.
Seems like it's coming out here like in a week or two. I mean, that might be something to check out. I'm okay with it, but I'm kind of having a little bit more fun with some of the stuff that I'm playing right now. Pet People is a pretty inexpensive itch to fill most of that, and getting back into fucking... Elite Dangerous, I'm sure, will eat most of my time.
I could do Tetris or Elite Dangerous or any other game but one of them, not all of them.
You guys remember Starbound, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You remember Chucklefish, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got a new game coming out called Witchbrook. I haven't heard a lot more than that, but that's going to be a thing here sometime soon.
Chucklefish, still good game. Chucklefish.
Chucklefish seems to do pretty good with some old school ideas. I mean, we thought that Starbound was basically just going to be Terraria in space, and ended up being a whole lot more than that.
Well, they did a massive, massive turn when they did their story base, you know, updates. So, the initial look and feel of that game was very Terraria until they added the story to it.
Yeah.
And then it became so much more. It was a good game.
So, Russ, you have something big, right?
I have a thing. A thing that is, I just heard about it not too long ago, but I've been beating Jason up because of his purchasing, even if it was on the used market, of Star Wars Battlefront 2, and anybody that has waged this little protest, I say little in jest here, against EA and how they, you know, how they have structured their, you know, their pay to win and progression model for that game, you will now rejoice because I have some news. The EA has announced that they're making a progression update to this game, and as of March 21st, they will be bringing back real money purchases to the game, but it will only be for cosmetic items. They have removed all of the, you know, purchasable power from the game.
That's good.
And the game's loot boxes will now be earned through daily logins and completion of milestones, challenges, and things of that nature. So you will have to play the game to be able to get the star cards that you would need to boost your characters. So putting time into the game and actually, like, playing the game instead of just being a whale and dropping a couple $100 on loot boxes is going to be a thing going forward. Now, obviously, those people who have already dumped a bunch of money into their star cards and have all of what they need, it's not going to affect them much because they're going to keep what they have.
Yep.
But and I think that this right here tells us that they've listened, they've and they've adjusted. But how long did it take them to adjust? Right. I mean, this is. Yeah, this is a while that this has been an issue, and now they're going through and making changes to the progression system. Chances are, I mean, it's probably got a lot to do with how things were coded, you know, and it's a pretty massive change to make on a game that's already released. So I can understand why it took them some time.
But still, it would have been a long step in the right direction to have removed the loot boxes earlier before you had several different litigations over it.
It should have been noticed and dealt with in the beta phase.
Yeah.
Because this should have been, you know, really looked at, you know, and corrected before the game came out.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't, that's why the backlash happened, and there was a lot of changes that were just like numbers changes, how you got XP, how you got, you know, the resources to buy these things, and so on and so forth, that happened fairly early on after, you know, after the beta and, you know, essentially right after the release. So they knew there was something wrong. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had to make that many, you know, the numbers changes or anything. So, it's a win. EA has learned their lesson, hopefully. And Star Wars Battlefront 2 will no longer be a pay-to-win. Which
makes it more appealing.
Approachable now. See, that's the thing that I was worried about was the progression system and how it was done. Yeah. And the fact that loot boxes had progression items in it instead of, you know, cosmetic items. So, all right. You know what? It might be time to actually pick up Star Wars Battlefront 2 and play it for, like, a couple days. I might actually play the multiplayer for an hour or two.
Right.
But yeah, it's a fairly big change, and that's if this is something that they have learned with this release, hopefully it is a lesson that they continue to follow on future releases. You know, this kind of backlash can't happen with another, you know, another big title for them. It's gonna tank anything that has a name.
Yep.
You know, and that's a big deal for them, because they're always about looking at turning a profit, and they've learned on this game that doing things the way that they did, they're not turning a profit on it.
Yep.
So hit them in the pocketbook. That's where they learn.
It most definitely is.
I'm gonna say that it's a win, though. I really hate the fact that we had to take a stance on a Star Wars game.
Yeah,
I still feel that way. It's
that
like
that part is disappointing.
This is the it hurts me to say that we have to like sit back and watch a Star Wars game tank, you know, to teach the publisher a lesson.
Yeah,
so.
Agreed.
That's the big thing that I had. I mean, outside of, you know, Dragon Ball FighterZ revealing Broly is going to be in it.
Yeah.
Adding more Broly. Characters. Yeah, there's so many characters that they could add to that game.
Yeah.
So, boom, bring it on, man.
It's still going for an S-load.
What?
Battlefront 2 is still going for $44.99.
Yeah, but you're going to see... You're going to see that drop down. It's already dropped $15, so you're probably going to see that drop here in a little bit, especially right around the summertime. You're going to see it dip because they're trying to, you know, pad their sales for the middle of the year, and then it'll ramp back up in the fall.
So hopefully maybe I'll pick it up this summer for now.
Elite. I've got a 3-month subscription to Tetris, so
I will download Elite and install it on the PC this weekend.
I think that's really all we got. I think it's a news light week. We've been going 2 hours on this episode. I think we're at a good spot.
Well, okay. Sure. Yeah. Thumbs up, man. Thumbs up. I need to go shopping.
All right, well, Jason, where can you find us?
Find us at TiltCast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/TiltCast. Our YouTube channel is YouTube.com/TheRealTiltCast. Same for Twitch, and search for us on iTunes.
Find friends of the show, For the Love of Gaming, Cabbage, KBG, on YouTube. Find the CarouselPadcast.com. You can find BMFcast.com, NoQuarters.net, and TVGP.TV, still doing great things, now with Moonbeer. For that, stay tuned till next week.
Alrighty.
Peace.